there. I'm your host, Alexis Newland, and you're listening to the Brave Podcast. I am so happy you're tuning in today. Each week, a friend and I get together and talk about what makes them brave. So sit back, relax, grab your favorite cup of coffee or tea, and get ready for some engaging conversation. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Brave Podcast. I'm your host, Alexis Newland, and I'm so happy that y'all are joining me today. My southern accent came out a little bit in that. Yes, so happy you guys are joining me today. This is episode 22, which is bananas, and it will always be bananas to me that I've been doing this year. This whole journey of becoming a podcaster has been the scariest but most awesome thing I've done, I think, ever in my life. So I'm just loving it and loving that I get to bring fun content to you guys every week. So this week's guest is my friend, Marissa Balerian. I got it right. Yes, Marissa Balerian. We met through SoulScript Sisterhood. It's a group that Jordan Lee Dooley had put together. She did this really awesome, like, scripture Bible mapping course. We could go online and like check out, and she would kind of teach you kind of how to like Bible map and scripture, break down scripture really well. And so that's how I met Marissa. She was a part of the SoulScript Sisterhood. We were on this big Facebook site together and we became friends and kind of connected in that way. And I've just been kind of watching her ministry and her journey. And I decided to reach out to her to have her be a guest on the Brave Podcast. And so we talk about mental health, and mental health is something that is kind of a sketchy topic. Well, not sketchy, but kind of like a difficult topic I'm learning in like Christian circles. And so it was really good to have her come on and kind of share her journey about her mental illness. She was very vulnerable, and it was really great to have her come on and just be so honest and raw at the same time. And so she's going to share her journey about dealing with mental illness and like where, how she's turned that into a ministry. So you're really going to love it. Again, thank you so much for joining in each week to listen to the Brave Podcast. I really appreciate your support and the love that you have for this show. So, without further ado, here is my interview with Marissa Balerian.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Alexis. Thank you so much for having me on the Brave Podcast. It's actually my first one that I'm doing, and so I'm so thankful that you have asked me to join you. And so I just wanted to share with you a little bit about what I have gone through in terms of mental health. When Alexis first heard about my ministry, she had asked me to share a little bit. And so it is my privilege and honor to be able to share with you a little bit about my story, not going into too many details, but to share with you what God has taught me throughout all of this, and kind of just, you know, now where I'm going on from here. So to start with, I was diagnosed with OCD or obsessive compulsive disorder when I was 16.
Okay.
And have been on medications ever since.
Okay.
Yeah, and so I, during this time, I actually was on medication for quite some time, but just wanted to skip ahead quite a few years on when I was in college and towards my senior year of college is when I had met a guy named Zach, and it turned out that at that time, so in about at about June 15th in the year June 19th of 2015, we actually ended up getting married, and everything was going great, and again, things had been adjusted with my mental health and going to therapy. And right after that, God asked me, or actually it's more well, I guess you could say God, but Zach had gotten a job and had moved to Arizona. And so obviously I moved with him.
Okay.
Yeah, it was to be more of a family and marriage therapist. And so what I had done was I had literally packed up everything and moved with him. And so it was one of those things where I left everything that I knew.
Wow.
And yeah, it was very, very challenging. And on top of that, my medical doctor, not my psychiatrist, but my medical doctor had actually asked me to start weaning off of my medication that I had been on for so long. And so a couple of things that happened were that I was starting to get off the medication that had really been helpful to my mental health. I lived in a new place. I didn't live with Zach beforehand, so it was, you know, a new marriage, new state, new job. With all that combined, unfortunately, it worked to my disadvantage.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah, to the point where I started having some of the same symptoms start up again, and it took a toll on our marriage, and I had to take a leave of absence from work. And Zach, unfortunately, it was one of those things where he didn't know really how to help, and I don't blame him. It's a difficult illness to have. And so I ended up checking myself into a hospital, a mental health hospital, and I was there for about 2 weeks. And it was during that time that I was able to get the help that I needed, to get the resources that I needed, to get my medication back adjusted. And so then after that, and during that time, Zach really didn't visit me a whole lot. It was hard for him to get to me, and so my parents ended up helping me a lot. And after my time in the hospital, I ended up moving back out to Wisconsin, which is where I'm originally from, and I was able to go through outpatient therapy.
Okay.
With Rogers Behavioral Health, I was there for a couple of months. And it was during that time, again, I learned more of the tools that I needed to be successful, to help not only with the medication, but also to have those tools that I needed in addition to the medication. And during that time, when I was in Wisconsin, I did my outpatient therapy. Zach was still in Wisconsin, in Arizona, and after the treatment, I decided to start, I wanted to start working. So what I did was I started working for Target. Mind you, I had a degree in elementary education. So that was quite a change.
Yeah, I can imagine.
To go from being a teacher to basically starting from the bottom.
Yeah.
And then working my way up. And so I switched around with different targets, being able to continue to move up in the company. And during this time of my time in Wisconsin and Zach being in Arizona, unfortunately, things did not work out between the two of us. And so I really had to take my mental health seriously and had to do what was best for me. It's a very difficult decision to make. But I knew that had I continued to go down this route, if I were to stay with Zach, I would have tried to commit suicide, and I knew that's not what God wanted.
Yeah.
I got a lot of pushback from friends, and eventually friends started leaving my life, but I knew that I just needed to continue trusting God. And so after that, I ended up I continue to see a counselor, and went through something called divorce care, which is something where I was really able to get the tools that I needed to heal from the divorce and understand why I was going through what I was going through. Continue to see a therapist, continue to get my medication adjusted, and throughout all this time, God just really poured his favor on me. And it was during this time that I was able to find activities that I really enjoyed doing to help me mentally as well as spiritually.
What were some of those activities that you found that really helped you?
Yep. So that's a great question. One of the things that I had learned in therapy was to do something called behavioral activation. And what that means is that you are finding things that you enjoy doing. And so like you asked, one of the things that I really enjoy doing is writing cards to people. And I love being able to encourage others because it helps me to focus not on what I'm going through, but to focus on encouraging others. And I have a website, and it's called lovealwayscards.com. And basically how that works is that people are able to request a card if they want a card to be written. If they want me to write a card to someone else, the cost of the card is free. I mail it out. And it's really helpful to spread that love through a handwritten card.
Well, how long have you been doing that? Like, before your marriage and before you got sick? Or how long has that been going on?
I really started that during my time in treatment.
Okay.
So it's continued while I was going through the divorce. But just it continued to help me, and I still continue to do it throughout the to this day.
That's really cool.
Yeah. So then after that, then what I was able to do, so kind of just going through until now, is since I've been, I was a teacher, worked at Target, actually worked at a local gas station, and God has really been doing amazing things with this whole ministry, which I'm sure you'll want to, we'll talk about in just a moment. But
yeah.
During this time too, that God has allowed me to put back into practice what I had been learning about in college with education. And so now I work as an admissions counselor.
Okay.
At a private college. And it's been really neat to see the people that I've met throughout this journey. And my goal is to be able to use this journey of not only with my mental health challenges, but with divorce as well as friendship breakups, to bring people closer to Christ.
I love it, Marissa. So a couple of questions for you. Like, when you were losing your friends and kind of people were falling away, how did you use your faith to deal with that? How did you look to your faith?
So that's a great question. A lot. What I did was the help with a counselor. Seeing a Christian counselor was a big thing. But also to reaching out to friends, reaching out to pastors, but most importantly, reading God's word and praying a lot, and just knowing that as long as I heard from Christ and as long as I was doing everything that I could, and just maintaining that, then it was going to be okay. But also giving myself grace, because the big thing in divorce care was that, two people contribute to a divorce, but experiencing that grace, knowing that I made those faults too, is really what helped me grow my faith in Christ, because I knew that God loved me no matter what. And even if those were the wrong decisions that I made, that's where grace comes in.
I love that. So you were talking about before you had OCD and dealing with depression. Did that mess with your faith at all? Did it kind of like, have you have any times where you doubted God because you had this illness? And like, why couldn't I be like kind of normal? Those kind of thoughts ever go through your mind?
Sometimes it did, but I think because my family members struggle with it too, in some way, shape, or form, that I realize it's not anything I've done, a sinful thing.
Yeah.
It's part of just my DNA. And how I reframed my thinking is that by using by going through what I've gone through with my mental illness, that I'm able to grow closer to Christ and draw others closer to Him, because I've had to try a little bit harder in terms of just making it. It's not easy, and
mm-hmm.
So relying on God's strength more. So I've shifted my perspective, that I'm thankful that I have this illness, because I'm able to bring encouragement and hope to other people, and God is with me every single step of the way.
I love that. What would you say to someone today who is kind of dealing with this illness? Like, how would you encourage them?
What I would say to them is to not give up, to take each day as it comes, really to practice self-care, to realize that it's okay to have good days, it's
mm-hmm.
okay to have bad days, and when you have those bad days, to do what you can healthy healthy tips to take care of yourself. So, for example, in days like these where we've got the coronavirus,
yeah,
and we have to literally be stuck at home. Those that are dealing with depression and anxiety, I totally get it. Find what works for you, whether that's reading a book, whether that's drinking coffee, whether that's calling friends, to do what you can, knowing that it's going to be a battle, and counting those victories and writing about them. So that's the encouragement that I would give, to not give up. But I guess the biggest thing that's helped me is to write down in a journal of things that you're grateful for, because I've started doing that, and I kid you not, it's really helped change my perspective to, instead of focusing on all the negative things, to focus on how we've been blessed.
I absolutely love that. That's so good to think of, because I'm thinking of the coronavirus and us being stuck in the house right now. It can be very hard and kind of discouraging to, like, you're just at home and you can kind of feel lonely, especially if you're single, or like, say you're having a rough time in your marriage and you're stuck in the house with the person you're battling with, and how it's like, it can be a very tense time, but kind of looking at ways to take care of yourself can really improve things for you. So I'm really thankful for that advice.
Awesome.
So through this, you started to have a ministry. So can you kind of explain what your ministry is now and how you're kind of blessing others?
Sure. I love to talk about that. So the ministry that I have is called She Knows Love. SheKnowsLoveMinistries.com. And it's basically where I open, I freely talk about my journey as someone who struggles with mental health. My audience is specifically for Christian women who are dealing with mental health, who are or mental illness, who are dealing with problems in relationships, whether that's with being married, whether that's dating someone, and also if anyone's having struggles in their friendships. And the reason why I wanted to focus on those, that kind of audience, is because as Christians, we have, in my experience, and that's not necessarily in everyone's experience, but in my experience, I have faced more pressure to read my Bible more, to pray more, to be doing all the right things. And while that's very important, knowing that we are not perfect individuals. In fact, depression is one of the, actually suicide ideations or suicide thoughts are more common in women than in men. And it's actually men that carry it out. And I really believe it's because of all the pressure that's placed on us. So really, to answer your question, the purpose in this ministry is to be open about it and to let others know, that they are not alone, that there are more people in this world. And so what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to start locally and really focusing on doing events in the, I'm from Milwaukee, so I'm doing things in the Milwaukee area. But my goal is then to be able to travel and to speak at various events that focus on, or various women's events, because I think that is such a hot topic right now. So a couple of things you'll find on my website is why I do what I do. You will find a little bit about my story. You're going to find out more about some partnerships that I've had, as well as some features, ways that I've gotten involved in the community. You can purchase items, and all that goes towards mental health. And I'm actually in the process of trying to create a mental health masquerade ball.
I love that.
I'm so excited. It's the first time ever. There have been so many masquerade balls, but what it would do is all the sales would go towards mental health. And my focus right now is really on trying to help individuals that want to get the help, specifically women that want to get the help in therapy or seeing a psychologist, but that they can't afford it because they don't have health insurance or anything like that. So I'm trying to work on that. And then my next step is, once I've gained that platform, once I've gained that respect, I guess you could say, is then planning a conference, an annual conference called the Alive Conference. And what that's going to focus on is it's called the Alive Conference, bringing back to life what was once dead in our lives.
I love that.
So every year it's going to be something different. This next year is going to be on mental health. And then the following year it might be on relationships and then friendships. It's basically things that I've gone through, but putting back to life. So that's what I'm working. That's what I'm currently working on right now.
Wow. So how did you come up there with the idea of a masquerade ball? That sounds really fun. And especially for mental health, which can be so yeah. hard to have something so fun to kind of look forward to. I absolutely love the idea of a masquerade ball.
Yeah. So a couple of things is actually I got connected with a gal who lives about an hour away from me, and she partnered with an organization to run a prom. And I thought, oh, that's really fun, and it's to support mental health. And I actually had this idea before she had put out the idea. But so that idea kind of came from that. But then the masquerade ball, I didn't want it to be a prom, because a lot of people, when they think of prom, they're like, oh, I had such a bad prom experience.
Exactly.
Yeah. I know, I did. I had a horrible prom experience. So for the ball, it would be anyone can come, you dress up. And then my roommate actually recommended, well, what about a masquerade ball? And I think of the fact that also what we tend to do is when we have mental health or mental illness challenges, we put on a mask.
Yeah,
right?
We do.
And cover ourselves. And so it's more of a, I wasn't thinking of it at that time, but people like masquerade balls to be able to, I don't know, just to cover themselves up. So that's the point. And I want it to be sometime, obviously when the coronavirus starts easing up and then going on from there. But I think because it's never been done in the Milwaukee area and in the form of a ball, I think that there will be a really great response to it.
I definitely think so. That would be something really fun to attend. What is your masquerade ball going to be called?
I don't have a name for it just yet.
Okay.
So still trying to come up with a name. What I'm working on right now is I'm trying to find sponsors.
Okay.
And so I'm working with Rogers Behavioral Foundation, which is where I went for outpatient therapy in Wisconsin. And what's the reason why I'm reaching out to them is because they actually asked me to I was supposed to speak at a women's luncheon that was run by Rogers Behavioral
Health. Okay.
I was asked to be their main speaker in this May, but because of the coronavirus, it's being postponed to next May, which is okay. That's
yeah.
fine. I totally get it. So I've already established a relationship with them, but I'm trying to meet with them to see if they can be a sponsor. So I'm working on sponsors right now. And any donations I can get, and then kind of coming up with the name of the ball.
That is very cool. And so you're also going to do a conference too.
Mm-hmm.
And so what's that going to look like?
So the theme is going to be called the Alive Conference, putting back to life what was once dead. And I just want to pull it up for you to talk to you.
Oh, cool.
Very briefly, I've already had some ideas that I have that I've come up with. So it typically women's conferences, what I've been finding is that either they're a 1 day or they're a 2 day, and typically they're like they're the majority of the day. But I wanted mine to just be a 1 day conference, but not have it start so early.
Yeah.
And don't end so late. Cause I've been to conferences where they'll start at like 8 a.m. and I think, oh gosh. So, for me, for mine, it would start at 9 a.m. So it gives the women some time to sleep in, and then it would end around 4. And so what we would do is we would have an introduction. We would do worship. We'd have a main session and then 3 workshops total. And we would do lunch and then a closing. My goal is to have 6 workshops that women can choose from. But this is what I only have 4 so far.
Okay.
And so just trying to figure out the other two. So the first, and again, the names may change, but this is my general idea. So the first one would be called the power of no, taking care of yourself before taking care of others.
I love that. That is so fun.
That's something that I've really learned about myself. The second one would be something about what will people think of me if they found out I have a mental illness.
Okay.
The third one is my pastor told me I need to pray more and read my Bible more.
Oh, that's a good topic.
Yep. So my pastor told me I need to pray more and read my Bible more. Now what? And then the fourth one that I have right now is titled Help Me to Understand. And the paraphrase is, or not paraphrase, the little side note is how to help those with a mental illness.
Okay.
So I think that it encompasses a couple of things. One is self-care.
Yeah.
You don't have to have a mental illness to learn how to take care of yourself. One is specifically for people that have a mental illness. And what will people think of me? Third thing is my pastor told me I need to pray more and read my Bible more. That's something that we all struggle with. That can be with generalized anxiety and depression.
Yeah.
And then the fourth one is not necessarily for those that have a mental illness, but for those that have either a loved one or a neighbor or a friend that has a mental illness. And how do we help those? What do we do? What do we say? What do we not say? What do we not do? So then I just need to think of two more, because I want to have a variety of helpful workshops. So that's what I have so far.
That's awesome content. I was going to ask you about the power of no. How has that been something powerful or helpful for you in your life?
So that's a great question. I had an event back in December called Breaking the Silent Nights. I've done events, you know, since all of this stuff. And one of the things that I talked about is the fact that it is okay to say no. I've had a lot of friends in my life that they felt like that they have had to say yes to everything. They they also have FOMO, fear of missing out. But the power of no is, we think of no as such a negative thing, but actually it can be a very positive thing, because what you're doing is you are saying no to things so that way you can say yes to others. So one thing that I had read is something along the lines of, you know, I'm saying no right now. It does not mean that I don't ever want to hang out with you or do something with you, but I'm saying no right now so that down the road I can say yes to you. And so we're going to be talking about that. And then also, if you think about the fact that if you say yes to everything, eventually down the line, you are not going to be able to say yes. And I use the example of a pitcher of water. If someone is asking for water and your pitcher of water is empty, you literally cannot give them water because your pitcher is completely empty. You have to go and fill up that pitcher of water to be able to pour that glass to another person, or to that person. So we need to fill ourselves up, whether that's with taking time for ourselves, reading our Bible, whatever that looks like, so that way we can say yes and fill others up.
I absolutely love that. Like, this is so encouraging to hear, because I have a problem with saying no, and I feel guilty. I think a lot of people do when they say no to something. And you don't realize that saying no to that says yes to what you need to do.
Wait, so you have a problem with saying no, or you have a problem with saying yes?
I have a problem with saying no. I say no. I say yes quite too often, where I'm like, okay, oh, I really can't do this, but I don't want to let you down, so I'm going to say yes anyway, kind of thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I've gotten to the point, because I used to say no. The thing with me is I used to say yes so many times, like what you said, and I would get to the point where I was like, you know what, I really don't want to do this. It's not that I don't want to be with the person, but I really don't want to be burnt out. And so what ends up happening is, what I've experienced, doesn't mean that you have, but what I've experienced is, if I say yes so many times and then I cancel, that ends up hurting the person more than if I would have just said no in the first place, but telling them why I'm saying no. Because what I found is that that person will end up respecting, they may end up respecting you more in the long run because you explained why you said no, because you want to say yes to them down the road.
Yeah. I love that. And then the other thing I wanted to ask you about is what you mentioned about, like, my pastor said to pray more and to read your Bible more. Have you experienced that in your life? And what would you say to churches to kind of better partner with people who are dealing with mental illness?
So I personally, I thankfully have not had a pastor personally say to me, well, you need to read your Bible more. You need to pray more. But what I have been to our services when the focus is on worry and anxiety, and the pastor has said, well, you know, do not be anxious about anything. Like it talks about in the Bible, like do not fear.
Yeah. Right?
And I've been very much turned off by that. But what I've appreciated is the fact that I listened to a sermon, I would say about a month or so ago. And the first, and the title of the title of the sermon series was Anxious for Nothing. Actually, Max Lucado writes a book.
I love him. He's amazing.
Yep, he's wonderful. Anxious for Nothing. But the pastor said that he said, before I go into this series, I want to tell you that what we're going to be going through is a series of different kinds of like illnesses. Like if there's a spiritual component, a physical component, mental component, he said, but the first thing that I want to tell you is that if there is a chemical imbalance, which for me, that's what I have. If there's a chemical imbalance, if there's something where you need medication, then he said, then you need to do that. You need to take that medication. And he said, because for so long, he was told that he needed to pray more, to read his Bible more, to do this then. And he said, and while that may work for some of you, it will not work for all of you.
Exactly.
And it did not work for me. And I loved that he, and I will never forget that he prefaced his whole, the series with the fact that if you need help, then you need to get that help. And that help can come from doctors. It can come from therapists. You know, it can come from so many different things. And the point in reading your Bible more and praying more is to supplement what you're being given physically, whether that's medication or anything like that. Because let me tell you, when I was not on medication and I tried to read my Bible more, or I tried to pray more, it was literally, the words were coming through me, but going right out.
Okay.
And so in order for it to physically stick, I needed to have that medication for those words to stick to me. So I don't know if that answers your question.
No, that definitely does.
So that's what's helped.
Okay. Very cool. And so are you going to be leading these sessions, or are you going to have people come in and speak?
A wonderful question. So my goal, because I want to be a speaker, and I didn't share this with you before when you asked me to do this podcast, is something that, and I want to preface it with saying that I'm not bragging, but the power of God speaking to us and really listening to his voice is that when I was in the hospital in Arizona, when I was inpatient, I remember sitting in the hospital. And I was very distraught, upset, discouraged. And I remember God saying to me, Marissa, I need you to be in this spot for this period of time, because someday I want you to be able to speak to others and reach them and encourage them. And I'm saying this not to be boastful, but when God asks you to do something and he wants you and he vividly, and I really couldn't understand. I can't remember much from my experience in the hospital, but I remember God saying that to me, and so clear and so softly and gently, that I knew that when I started getting better, that I needed to fulfill his calling. And so therefore, to answer your question, no, I am not going to be speaking at all of the workshops, because I don't think, in my opinion, first of all, if I'm trying to organize this, I can't speak at all the workshops. My goal is to give an introduction, to speak at the main session, to give a little bit of my story, but also to allow those people that have gone through those things to give them their moment, to not, I wouldn't say to shine. To shine, but to be a voice, because what they say to others could have a much more positive impact than if I were to say something.
Exactly.
And I want to give those people that platform, to give them that opportunity to be able to speak to them, to the audience. So, no, I will not be reading everything, but I will be speaking at the main session, and doing a lot of the announcements. But what I'm doing is I'm gathering, I've been writing down in a journal of people gathering around me and asking them for different parts to help me allow this conference to eventually, start in Milwaukee, but maybe, who knows, one day it'll be a national conference.
That would be awesome.
To work full time.
Definitely. So I was trying to think of the question I just had for you and it just slipped my mind.
I talk a lot.
No, you're fine. I was like, oh, it was a good one. Oh, okay. So after you had been out of the hospital and gotten home, how long did you wait to start your ministry? So anyone who's gone through something difficult and wants to do what you're doing and go back and reach people, how long did you wait? Did you kind of know right away after you got out and got better that you wanted to do this, or was it something that you slowly worked on and then finally said, hey, I'm going to put myself out there and do this?
That's an amazing question. So it wasn't right after I got out from the hospital, because how it worked is when I got home from the hospital from Arizona and I moved to back to Wisconsin, which is where I'm from. I went through Rogers Behavioral Foundation. Now, I didn't say this earlier, but what I did was through the program, I was in two different programs. I literally a week after I got home from the hospital, I started at Rogers about a week after, and I started in what's called partial hospitalization.
Okay.
So I was there for 6 hours every Monday through Thursday or something like that. And so that program lasted for about a month or so. And then because I worked really hard at getting the OCD under control and utilizing the tools that were given to me, I transitioned into the generalized depression and anxiety group. And so I would say that was in probably in July, at the middle of July or end of July. And that was when I was, and to give you a time frame, so that was July of 2016.
Okay.
So between the time that I was out of the hospital compared to the time that I really started the Love Always Cards ministry, that was about a month.
Okay. Wow.
Because I had been taught during my time at Rogers Behavioral Health Foundation that in order for me to get a more firm control on my depression was to do something that I enjoyed, which was to write cards. So that's really when that ministry, just focusing on writing cards, started blossoming. And that's when I started making from the ministry, the card ministry, then into going more into mental health. And if you want to know a little bit more about my story with writing cards, it can be found. I don't have the exact link, but it can be found on the Rogers Behavioral Health Foundation website.
Okay.
Or what people can do is if you go on to SheKnowsLoveMinistries.com, there is a tab on how I've been involved in the community. There's one that focuses specifically on the card writing component, because I did something for the Rogers patients by writing Christmas cards. There's something on that that you can literally just click on that link and it takes you to the webpage where it talks about my card ministry and takes you to the Love Always Cards website.
That is awesome, Marissa. I will definitely, I'll look on your site and I'll link all of that in the show notes so people can go on and find that and so they can see.
Perfect.
Awesome. So we're getting to the close. So what are your big goals for the rest of the year? For what you want to do with your ministry, for what you want to do with yourself? What are some of your big goals?
Really, my big goals would be I have to start small.
Yeah.
And it's hard for me because I just want to do big things, and it's so hard. because I work full-time as an admissions counselor. But anyway, so my goals for this year, I'm trying to write more on Instagram every single day to try to get my name, I guess, more out there. But then the goals would be the masquerade ball. And then I want to do the Alive conference. And then the other goal then for this following year is then speaking at the women's gathering conference, and doing small little parts here and there in the community in the meantime. So the big things would be to have the masquerade ball, a live conference, and then the women's gathering luncheon, but then doing small pieces to help get in the community and finding what else I can do, because I only want it to go from here.
That's awesome. And what are some things that you're loving right now in your life?
A couple of things right now. Well, I mean, I would say I'm loving this coronavirus time.
You know, I kind of am too.
And I want to explain why. The reason why is because it's literally forcing me to slow down.
Yeah.
And to pay attention to, because I have to work from home. So I'm making phone calls to students and all of that. But it's literally forcing me to read more, to write cards more, and all of that. And so I actually so what am I loving? Yeah, so I'm loving encouraging people right now and listening to their stories and utilizing their stories and connecting and marketing with people on how we can make this a global mission.
That's awesome. This has been so great. I'm so glad I reached out to you. This has been such an encouraging podcast episode. I think people are going to love this.
Good. Thank you so much. Glad. Thank you so much for asking me. I really appreciate it. It's been wonderful talking to you, and thank you so much for your encouragement.
Thank you. All right. We'll see you guys later. Thanks for tuning in.
Guys, thanks so much for tuning into this week's episode. So here are my three asks, of course. My first one is ratings. Ratings really helps me know what you're loving about the show and things that I can work on to make the show better for you guys. Next, downloads. Downloads helps the podcast world know that you're liking what you're hearing, and it makes the Brave podcast a little easier to find when people are searching for it on iTunes or Spotify or other places that you can catch your podcast. And then finally, if you feel like you really loved what you heard today, please share this episode with a friend. I thank you guys so much each week for tuning in, and I am so thankful for our guest Marissa today, who came on and had a in-depth discussion about mental health. And I love that she has taken something very difficult that has happened in her life and has now turned it into something where she can bless others. And if you want to find Marissa, I will put all her info in the show notes. All right, so next week's episode is my friend Tamika Mahomes. Tamika is the founder of the Flourish and Purpose blog. She's also a mom to a brand new little girl, and her husband started a home church about 2 years ago. We talk a lot about fear and people kind of coping with the chaos that's going around in this current season, the coronavirus. So you'll definitely want to tune in to our interview. I feel like you'll be very encouraged. Thank you guys so much for listening, and I will see you next week. Bye.